There, there. It's all right. It'll be okay.
No. No, it won't.
Sure it will. You'll see.
No. I promised him I'd never let anything happen to him.
That's a funny thing to promise.
What?
Well, you can't never let anything happen to him. Then nothing would ever happen to him. Not much fun for little Harpo.
And that's from Finding Nemo. And think about your own childhood growing up. Did your parents allow you to explore, in the playground, or allow you to ride a bike and maybe have some friends over or go to their house with reasonable caution? Or did they micromanage everything you did? Oh no, it's too dangerous. You can't cross the street. You've got to stay here. Rather than teaching you how to carefully cross the street. I know we had a big street near us, Reservoir Avenue, growing up, and it wasn't near a reservoir, it was in a city. And I know that it was really scary for me as a little kid, but then I learned how to cross it, and we went to the traffic light, we crossed it. Did your parents let you explore? Did they let you date? Or maybe sometimes parents have very bad histories themselves, and they assume when kids get into their dating years, oh my God, I know what I did. I know how I lied to my parents. I know how I climbed out the window in the middle of the night. I know how I drank. I know how I experimented a little bit or with sex and the rest. And you just assume your own kids are going to do the same because guess what? That's what you're familiar with. Well, maybe your kids aren't going to do the same. Maybe if you give them a little more freedom, if they've earned it. I mean, if they've given you cause not to trust them, that's different. But if they've earned that freedom, give them that freedom that they've earned. And as they show more maturity, more responsibility, let them breathe, let them grow, let them discover life, and let them trip up occasionally, not big ones, but occasionally kids will trip up and learn from them. I know my parents gave me a lot of freedom. In fact, they used to, my dad traveled for business and would leave with my mother and leave me with a sitter. But when I was old enough, I remember they left me alone with my sisters to babysit. And I felt very proud of that. I didn't misuse that opportunity. I didn't have parties all night long and, you know, drink and carouse. So you want to if you show your kids that you have confidence in them, that sends a very different message than, oh, I think you're too fragile to go out in the world, like in Finding Nemo, or the movie Finding Nemo, or I don't trust you. I know what you're going to do. You're going to do just what I did. And you may not say that latter part, but might be thinking it. So, you know, parenting a teenager or parenting a child at any age isn't easy. And it involves a lot of skills. And, of course, my favorite parenting skills books are How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. And those authors, Adele Farber and Elaine Maslisch, have several books. I recommend them all. They are just phenomenal. And right now, here is a question that I received on dating. What if you yourself are trapping yourself? It's not a parent that's doing this to you, although I wonder if Janice did have a parent in her past who was a little too overprotective or something went on in her past. Here's the question from Janice. Hi, Dr. Kenner. I'm 19 and female, and I've never been in a serious relationship, even though I want one. Whenever I get even remotely close to someone, or they like me and want to date me, I freak out and pull away. Even though part of me wants to date them, a stronger part makes me worry and feel anxious, and I stop seeing them. What can I do to stop the panicky feelings, and why are they happening? Janice, how do you stop those panicky feelings? Your second question is first, why are they happening? Ask yourself that lovingly, gently, what's going through my mind? There are two parts of me. You said one part wants to date, and the stronger part, the 51% at least, is pulling you away from dating. I assume it's a little stronger than that. And we have a skill in therapy we call exploring your ambivalence, or exploring those two parts. And you ask yourself, you take the stronger one first, the negative one. Don't date. I can't date. It makes me feel too anxious. Something terrible is going to happen. And nail it. put it into words. Figure out what is underlying my anxiety and causing it and driving it and robbing me of a romantic relationship. And so you explore the negative part first. And for example, there are many different skills you can use in cognitive therapy, but one very simple one would be just to take a piece of paper and a pen, and for 3 minutes to let that part of you that freaks out and wants to pull away talk. Write it down on paper, because putting things on paper makes it a little more objective for yourself. It's more tangible. You can hold it. Like thinking about a pretty new dress is one thing, but actually holding it in your hand or trying it on is very different. It's the same. You try on your words. So if let's say what you do that experiment and you say, well, what if when I date, he rejects me? Or what if he sees through me and sees all my flaws? Or what if I don't like him, but I feel trapped with him? How can I say no to him? I don't like hurting people. Or what if we end up having a relationship and he cheats on me like Dad cheated on Mom? I couldn't bear that type of pain. You gather all those thoughts in your 3 minutes, and honey, if it goes for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, let it rip. Whatever you want to expose your anxious thoughts, because when you expose them, you shine a light on them, and then you can talk back to those thoughts. So let's say that you had some of the thoughts I was just talking about. The next step would be to understand that every one of those thoughts has a reasonable answer to it that leaves open the possibility of you dating. So what if he rejects me? That's the first one. Well, my husband's attitude, he was rejected quite a bit, he dated a lot, was nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I love that statement, meaning you're never going to find romance unless you are able to stand with rejection without feeling like you yourself as a person implodes. That's a self-respect issue, self-esteem issue. You want to write down another list of everything you like about yourself. So if he rejects you, go on, find someone else. I don't want to date someone who rejected me. I also dated a lot and got rejected periodically and did some rejecting myself. And, you know, that's what dating's about, because you're trying to find the right person. The second thought, let's say you had the thought, what if he sees through me and sees all my flaws? Well, man, my husband saw flaws in me. I had a nervous laugh and probably still occasionally do. And I'm so glad he mentioned it, because I can grow from that feedback, and I have grown from it. So if you're in a good relationship, you lovingly grow with one another. What about your third thought? And these are not yours, these are my examples. But what if I don't like him and feel trapped with him? Honey, you want to give yourself dating skills. And those skills include how to say no tactfully, how to disengage from somebody. I will tell you in a minute, I'll give you a reference to a book that I'm very intimate with. And another thought, what if you have the thought, what if we end up having a relationship and he cheats on me like my dad cheated of me? You want to collect examples of couples you know who have never cheated on one another, and then you want the attitude of, just because my dad cheated on Mom doesn't mean that every guy cheats, and I refuse to rob myself of romantic happiness just because of my dad's actions. I won't let him ruin romance for me. You can hear the strength there. Then after you've done that, let the negative part out. Let the positive part speak. Why would you want a good relationship? You can write for 3 minutes on that. I'd love a good relationship. Life would be more interesting. We'd have fun together. The book that I recommend is a book that I wrote with Dr. Ed Locke, which gives you tons of romantic relationship skills. It's The Selfish Path to Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason. You can go to selfishromance.com or my website, drkenner.com. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
As your relationship develops, notice whether it becomes more positive, more negative, or stays the same. With a great partner, love gradually grows in depth and intensity, and there'll be no contradictory evidence showing that it's not a good match. Your love trajectory, the course your relationship takes, should move in a positive direction. But if, in contrast, the trajectory moves downward, it means you and your partner are discovering more and more things that you don't like about one another. another. Such relationships are doomed, barring some major turnaround. If the trajectory stays flat, this is also a red flag. Usually this happens because there is no real passion and partners are staying together out of inertia or convenience.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.